It's the Villains Talk Show and podcast and Two Shot Sundays and stuffs. Yeah. With C4, Sarah Vike, and Saniac, Sir Jeremy, and the Great Grease Goblin.
What?
Too bad only three of us are here.
Four of us. There's four of us here.
Shh, it was the dramatic reveal.
Hello and welcome to the Villains Talk Show.
Can we count to four? That's
podcast. I am one of your hosts, C4. Beside me is the Great Grease Goblin. And out back in the wilderness is Sarah, but still on the show. And for the first time in almost a month. First time in a month? Yeah, about a month.
I think two months, actually. It's closer to 2 months, definitely.
Damn, it's been too long. 2 months too long for the elusive gentleman, Sir Jeremy himself. And welcome to the Villains Talk Show and podcast. Usually it's Two Shot Sundays, but like I said last Wednesday, we are having... Hello? Sarah's having a bit of the slows, is what we're calling it. It's not lag, but it's like she slows down.
It's a little bit of both.
So, because she's out in the forest.
She's getting sucked into the Terminator future.
Yeah, she is. But she'll, as she slowly cuts back in. So usually, like I said, last Wednesday, usually we do talk shows on Wednesdays and double shots on Sundays. But because we were supposed to have a full house tonight, but someone is not here because they're sleeping.
Yeah, I wonder who that could be.
But because of that, it's just us four, but we're still doing a talk show today as basically like, hey, it's season two. We've been doing this for a year now. It's about, you know, let's do another show. Hello, there she is. See, Hello. She's back. Like I said, she'd be back.
No.
It's all right. You're fine. Everything's golden, Sarah. Just every so often you have a case of the slows. Okay. Before I get into the topic today, I just wanted to give a shout out to Buzzsprout. If you want to start a podcast like we did, I use Buzzsprout. It's what I use. They give me a website. You can do it for free. I put a link in the chat if you want to use it. There's no obligation or anything. You don't even have to give them a credit card or anything. You'd literally do it for free. You just sign up like any website and it's just recording. The recording part is hard. I will tell you that right now. The recording part is hard. As you might have seen from our last episode, sometimes. Actually, that's a really good point. Oh, no, we're good. Okay. Just making sure the sound's good.
I'm not checking it right now. You are.
Anyway, that being said, if you want to try Buzzsprout, just click the link that I put in the chat. Otherwise, on to the topics today. Last time we did intro to D&D, but we focused on intro to a villain's campaign because me, Sarah, and Grease Goblin knew quite a bit about that. But today we're going to do part two of the intro to D&D. With the actual person who all our knowledge comes from, which is the elusive gentleman himself, because he pretty much introduced me back into 5e. He pretty much introduced Sarah into D&D. So if anyone can tell...
He introduced me into a proper game of D&D.
If anyone could have a great way to tell you how to be introduced or how to introduce players into D&D from a DM's perspective, would be the elusive gentleman. But the way I'm looking at it is we can come to that because there is a spicy issue that we have. And it's not often we have spicy issues on the Villains Talk Show and podcast. That was a joke. Laugh.
We have a spicy issue?
We do.
We are talking about
Vax passes.
Mm.
Now.
Right.
Now. I know what's going to happen is immediately anyone who listens to this is going to say, oh, they're great or oh, they're bad. But I would just like to point out that there is a book, an old book from the 60s that I think of. And I don't, oh man, I'm going to talk about it in a bit, but let's start with a regular take. So Sarah, you are fully vaccinated. Do you care about vax passes? Are you of the?
No.
So you are against them?
I don't care.
That makes sense.
There's a lot of reasons people might not want to get vaccinated, and some of them are pretty valid. I just...
No. We're not talking about anti-vaxxers. We're talking about vax passes.
Yes. The two go hand in hand, John.
That's why this issue is going to be a little bit spicy.
Okay, yeah, fine. Fine.
You have one without the other. But... I don't know. I think it depends on what it's for. Like, in high school, I traveled to Guatemala, and I had to get certain vaccines and prove I had those vaccines to go there. So, like, the actual, like, vaccination passports, I don't see a huge problem with that. I think a lot of countries are implementing that, whether we like it or not. So we probably are kind of stuck with those. But as far as, like, for things around your own home... I think it's just kind of ridiculous, honestly.
So you bring up two great points I want to touch on. The first one, obviously, the last thing you said, in your own home. But they're not really looking at the home, right? But I do hear what you're saying.
No, not in your own home, but around your home, like to restaurants and stuff.
I was just going to say, yeah. I kind of get what you mean. Like in your neighborhood, your certain area.
Yeah.
And I get what you mean. That does seem a bit draconian to some degree, especially if you live in a less dense densely populated area. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, where that argument maybe holds a little less water is when you talk about a larger city. But that because those are basically densely populated certain singular areas within different land masses, I would want to talk more about the first thing you said, which is you're talking about passports. Basically, just the idea of having your typhoid, having your HIV, your hepatitis shots. As a sailor, as a guy who literally sailed or worked on a cargo ship. Yeah, man. Horrible. You need all of them, and it's something that you don't really hear about, and some of the needles are like this big, but it's more that
gross.
You don't really hear about it or care about it because the way you look at it, and I guess that maybe lead more into what's the actual term? There's a term for it when you haven't experienced something and it's not really a big deal, but you imagine it as such because you're from a completely different culture. It's not culture shock, but there's a name for that. And so we look at things like malaria or Ebola or even HN1 and we look at it and H1N1? We see it. Yeah. HN. Yes. That one.
H1N1.
H1N1.
Thank you. But we look at that and we essentially kind of blindside ourselves with the horrors of it. But with something like COVID, especially because for a lot of people, it's been so in your face, such a lot of face value about it. Not really even face value, just more just it contact, face-to-face contact with, especially with people like, everyone at least knowing one person who supposedly caught it or did catch it, depending on which side of the fence you fall on that. but regardless, I find that if you look at it from that kind of view, it isn't a big deal. But I also would regress that point because when I would enter a country, all they would look is to see that you had your shot. There wouldn't be, like you kind of touched on, a more micro scale where, like, I can't go to this venue if I don't have a shot, or I can't go to this place if I don't have a shot. Even in countries where malaria is present, they don't have that kind of stipulation. So I do see the line you were drawing. What about you, Mr. Well, Grease Goblin? You
look... Didn't the Calgary Flames just make it mandatory to have a vaccine to go to a game?
Calgary Flames, Ottawa Senators, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Edmonton Oilers.
Most of the Dodgeball games.
Yeah.
I have a coworker that works at the Dome, too. Mm-hmm. And she said it's, like, mandatory.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's take it over to the elusive gentleman. I mean, we rolled everyone in with the nice soft intro. Now it's time to
to the unpopular belief.
I was going to say, as we like to do on the Villains Talk Show, we like to dive off the deep end. I don't know if you've noticed that with some of our guests in conversations. Usually starts with a low roll, except for Panther. If you guys, if anyone watching this ever wants to see,
that was great.
Oh, right, and just so we're guys clear, that's like one of our more downloaded episodes. Even though his audio is bad and he's from Australia,
is it actually?
It's one of our most downloaded episodes.
That's great though. Like I enjoyed that conversation.
I did too. It took me.
really enjoyed that.
It took me good. Like 10, 15 minutes for like to wrap my head around it.
You didn't realize the brick wall you were stepping into.
No. I did not realize the cliff I was jumping off. Yeah. I am used to the cliffs I jump off.
A little bit of both.
I enjoy that. Oh, it was good. It was a great perspective.
Onto a brick wall.
So that being said, talking about brick wall, Sir Jeremy, tell us about your opinion on Vax Passes.
I think the Vax Pass... Well, okay. Now, there's a little bit of a variance there. It's like same thing with going to another country. I understand that there's problems in that country. You require, cause I have all my important ones. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm going to clarify that right away.
Someone clip that just in case.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I got my polio. I got my measles, right? I got my malaria. I got my tetanus. I got all the important shit. I do not agree with this bullshit right now, because they're literally admitting that we're only in phase one. Phase one's not even human testing. And yet they're trying to get emergency passes to give it to children? No, I disagree with this, and I should not have to have a shot to go to work. I disagree with that, too. That's some, like, Logan's Run, my shit is turning red bullshit. No, I'm going to get hunted by the government and not be allowed to make money because I didn't get a vaccine. No, that's also bullshit. And if it was legit a vaccine that worked like any other vaccine, I got polio, I can go into a country with polio and not worry. Why is it you have a vaccine and you still have to worry about COVID? That's a flu shot. I disagree. That's just an overhyped flu shot. So I'm
honestly
personally waiting for the they say usually it's between 5 and 8 years for the results of a vaccine to come out. I'm waiting for that.
The only thing I can actually disagree with is the fact that it takes, like, I understand that when you say that it takes 5 to 6 years for a vaccine to come out, that's looking at, I would almost say, because
I got charts right here.
I want to see these because I would argue if you have enough of the science community working on something, you actually can increase speed, because that's the other thing is usually you don't have the overreaching science community, even in countries that are supposed to be working together, you don't really have them sharing full information. But I think I would like to believe, if I can have ever faith in anything, that they would actually share information for something like this. I see what you're looking at. Vaccines today.
That's also from a year ago.
But
a lot has happened in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these are a year doesn't make any difference.
Except it does in some cases.
Like, it's the five stages of vaccine development don't change because a year has passed.
Oh, no, not at all.
Right, that's the one I'm mostly looking at here, right?
Just
that's
looking,
a big one. And it says typically like 10 years and $500 million. Just, but we've had how many countries breaking? And I will admit, like, science is also a lot better. And that many people working together on something, you're going to further a project much faster, right? So that's why I like to fall under that 5 to 8 year still. That's pushing it. That's still quite an advancement.
I want to see what it looks like now that COVID vaccine is rolled out. Because I'm looking down at these numbers. And it says, like, share of one-year-olds globally who receive a full 7 immunizations of disease in 2018. And 86% of the world has a tuberculosis shot. But that's just infants.
It's also, they force your kids to have, it's like 13 shots now, but by the time they're 6 months old.
All right. So I get your point on, because I've heard this before from a few people, that it's just like that they're not anti-vaxxers, but they're just against the first wave, like the first set, because it's not.
No, it's more like I'm against it being like the mandatory while we're still in testing phases. And especially, we're in a much cleaner country than, like, some of the other not-so-better-off countries. I'm less afraid here than, say, some of the, I don't know, lesser medically attended Africa.
But
what, or like, even South America.
But what's the worry? That's not going to work? Well, then wouldn't you just get the next vaccine?
Or the other way, it kills you.
I mean,
well, then a whole lot of people are going to die.
So would COVID.
Well, a bunch of people already have died.
That's true.
But that was due to outstanding issues.
I already have friends that have told me about people who got, they were completely healthy, they got the shot, and within 24 hours they died, just like the H1N1, which was another corona one that they rushed out much too fast.
Look, when you're putting a foreign body into your body, whether it's been tested 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, or once, there is always going to be a chance of an issue. There's
going to be a chance of an issue, but when they have that science down to these are the numbers that are most likely not going to hurt, like, kill you, but you're going to get a little fucked up from it, that's when I'm going to partake.
I mean, I was just,
we're still guessing because, like, we're giving guys who are 6 feet tall too little of a dose and they're still getting sick. Or we're giving too much to little people and they're dying from it.
You know,
because body mass is a big thing, too.
There's two ways to look at this. I could look at this as the enigmatic way, which is, you're right and we should be more careful. And it's better to administer small doses to everyone in measured tones. And maybe people get 3 boosters or 4 boosters, but that's fine. No, because that would be the easiest way.
For people subjecting themselves to being tested.
Or,
and not it being forced down my throat.
You take the pragmatic version, which is, I mean, bell curves are bell curves for reasons. Some people are going to die, but not the majority. So who cares?
I mean, that is true.
but just to kind of focus back on the passes.
Good.
What first I thought of, and this, now they'll correct me if I'm wrong, this may just be because I'm a Jew. This may be because it was bred into me. But there were things I was taught as a child that I should never accept. First of all, I should never accept segregation of any kind, ever. And so I never have. I should never accept intolerance of any kind. Never have. And the other thing I should never accept is when they tell a certain group of people that they are better than you, and here's their proof. Here's their papers to prove it.
Yeah, that's another one.
That is the last thing I've always been told. because my grandma, who's God rest her soul, used to have these wonderful numbers on her arm that she didn't want there. And, you know, that was her pass. And so, I mean, I don't want to be a bastard about it, but that's the first place my mind goes. Is like, it just makes me laugh how the terrorist group of United States right now is anti-fascists. Antifa. Oh my God, we hate anti-fascists. We got to kill all the anti-fascists. Bring, like, that's all I'm hearing. Whenever I hear people tell me that, I'm just like, oh good. Oh good. At least everyone's being open about it again. That being said, that's a whole nother conversation. But that's what I think of when I think passes. And even though I'm vaxxed and I'm like, you know, I don't care really. Part of me, who just came back? I'm guessing that was Sarah. Part of me just, it doesn't sit right. It doesn't sit right gating entry or gating or creating or separating society, because like any true fascist will tell you that the first rule of fascism is you make the population separated and make them want to be the other. Like in Starship Troopers, which is the easiest example, is there are civilians, but to be a citizen, you had to do military work. And so what I hear when you can be a civilian, you know, a regular Joe, but if you want to go to the movies and be considered a human, you have to get a vax pass. You have to prove that you got a poke in your arm. Which, just, I mean, am I alone in this? Like, it's, I feel
you
like...
know, I 100% agree, too. We were just talking about that party yesterday. We're like, we go to this party. It's like, mandatory passes. Well, fuck that place. Let's burn it. Mm-hmm. Not actually, obviously, but...
Well, fuck you too, you motherfucker.
Like, fuck me, no, fuck you. Like...
You were about to say something, Mr. Goblin?
Oh, no, I completely agree with that. Like, that's not really... well, for one, humane. But at the same time, I'm also not agreeing with some of that. Because, well, yes, mandatory vaccination is completely wrong and immoral. Not getting the vaccine because of some of the facts that are out there that are just like... most of the facts out there right now are heavily spewed and just echo chambered, which is always fun.
I'd like our listeners to know that was probably the hardest the Grease Goblin has ever thought about an answer, and it was quite fun to watch.
No, he's a smart dude.
He is.
It's just words are hard.
Yes, yes. As a person with a degree in them, they are hard. No, I hear you. But I guess as the resident face of the what's your generation called? If I can, Generation Y's?
Gen Z.
Oh, Gen Z's. That's right.
Technically,
wait, Gen Z's. We're Canadian. We are Canadian. No, it's Gen Z. It's Gen Z.
I hate Z. It annoys me so much. It's Z.
I'm sorry. We're Canadian, and it is Zed. So tell us more about.
No.
So
you mean zebras?
Exactly, zebras. That's no. What I call them. Zebras. I call them zebras.
But it's not zebras. It's zebras.
No, it's zebras because
no,
you don't.
No, it would be zebras.
You don't pronounce H when you say H. Chair, when you're trying to say chair.
Hi-chi.
But you just Hi-chi. Did.
Or couch.
Again, you just pronounced the H.
Well, that's because you're coming up with examples that have a CH, and that's just stolen from French.
Sarah, we're falling into his trap. Stop. Just stop.
You're falling into his trap. It's all you.
It really is.
Anyway, Yep. Oh, now I lost my train of thought, you bastard.
Ah, yes. No, I was using ruse. Rused you.
I was going to ask you, because you are closer to Gen Z than I am. What's it like? Because here's the thing about my generation, and I'm sure Sarah and Jeremy can kind of echo this. Peer pressure was either a thing or it wasn't. Like, you either, like, there are some people you may know, like in our group, that got peer pressured when they were younger or older. But like people like
I think that peer pressure either is a thing or isn't always. That's just sort of how peer pressure works.
See now, this is why I'm asking the question, Sarah, because I disagree when I look at Gen Z because of how ingrained they are with social media, the internet, and all the different kinds of different social faces that they have on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Well, I mean, none of them are on Facebook anymore, but all those young whippersnapper things.
So peer pressure is a massive thing.
Exactly. But I think it is. I think it's now even more so on Gen Z. And so my question to Mr. Goblin here is trying to take yourself aback, like trying to take a third person look on it. Like, would you say that if you didn't have that opinion, do you feel like you'd be pressured to, or do you feel like you came to this on your own while having, just talk.
Unlike most of Gen Z, I actually do research.
Wow.
Like I do try to read things, and I actually go out of my way to try and read these things. So I like to think I have formed my own opinions.
Okay, but am I not wrong then? Or am I wrong?
No, I completely agree that most of Gen Z are sheep and they're following the herd.
And they pressure, I'm guessing what you mean by that is they pressure themselves.
Yeah, they pressure themselves and pressure each other and all that.
See, that must be rough, yeah, man. That must have been rough going to high school with that. Because, like,
surprisingly, I didn't actually have to deal with that all that much.
Because you're pretty. The group
of people I hung out with were not very, like, for lack of a better word, we were not popular.
You know who the only people who think they weren't popular when I was going to school? The kids.
Popular kids.
It's just how that works somehow. That being, okay. So yeah, because the reason I bring that up is because it's funny, man. Like, everyone likes to talk about boomers and Gen Zers. But when you go on something like Facebook, like, I can't help but laugh at how different the thought process is. Even though, like, you can have two people that are on the same page. They both believe in vac passes or anti-vac or like whatever. They're on the same page of something. Because of the level of fervor that I've seen come from Gen Zers, it's almost like, I mean, Jeremy can chime in on this. Remember when we used to watch videos back when we were going to like social class in like grade 6 and 7, and we had to learn about China, and we'd watch the videos of like Mao's rise to power and the little kids like going up to people with the red books and yelling in their face because they're not as communist as the younger generation. Do you remember those?
Vaguely.
I have the red book. I could show you. Cause I remember watching.
I definitely never watched that.
So
it sounds very familiar.
So I remember one of my many classes in China, on China, not in China. I wish. But on China, when Mao was kicked out the first time, when he was brought, the way he came back is with the red book, which I have a copy of. But he gave it to China. You learn about China in grade 6 or 7. I think it's grade 7. So when you're 13. Yeah, that's how good my memory is.
That's the joke, right?
I actually have a great memory, believe it or not. But if
that's not in the curriculum, man.
I know it's not in the curriculum anymore. Nah, it probably got taken out. But back when I was in the curriculum,
it has been for a long time.
Back when, because the curriculum changed probably when I was in grade 10, so probably like 3 years after me. So that would be 2007, 2006. The curriculum changed
after me.
Oh, that would be the second time it changed. After me. That would be the second time it changed.
No.
Because it changed. Look it up. We'll look it up after. But just to finish my point,
it's changed four times.
I really can't right now.
It's changed four times. It's
changed many more than that.
Anyway, point is, what I learned is we watched this video of these kids. And what Mao did is he basically taught the book to teachers. And the teachers would teach the books in school. And that's how, and he would give the books out for free. And so the kids would go home to their parents and they would say, you're not living up to these ideals. And they basically, he started a whole revolution from the kids, because this exact thing is they would start yelling at the old generation for not coming in line.
Where have we seen that in the last 24 hours?
Yeah. And it's nuts. It's nuts because Mao did this in the 50s and 60s. And just now it's finally hit.